Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Week one is in the books. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. What are your thoughts from Monday night?
Well, first off, it's just been an unprecedented 2020, but it really feels good to have football back, get settled into that rhythm of Sunday all day, and then Monday night football was great. Even though my Giants took an L last night, I'll be okay. We will move forward.
No, you ain't going to be okay.
We'll be okay.
It's going to be a lot of L's.
I'm not going to have you put that negative energy on me. Not right now.
No, it's just going to be
a lot of L's. It's 6 a.m. in the morning.
It's going to be a lot of L's, man.
Stop it.
Buckle your seat. It was good, though. Football, it's good. That's all I can tell you. It's good to have it back. I'm glad that the Monday night doubleheader's over with, though, because I'm trying to watch that second game, man.
It's late, man.
It was like, jeez. You know, and the only reason why my eyes kept opening and closing is because I kept hearing Louis Riddick's voice. Louis Riddick, and I'm just like, I'll wake up, you know. But it was one of those tough watch.
I kept hearing, call timeout, call timeout. That's what I kept hearing.
Let's get into that right away. So it's ironic, but they're going to wake up Tuesday in Denver, and the Broncos are going to be the one kicking themselves, even though Tennessee had all the kicking problems. And we're kicking off a new era for Ben Roethlisberger, who said he's back to win multiple Lombardis. A lot of people thought entering year 17 he'd be close to the end. But to Jay's point, essentially, Jay, since you brought it up, why don't we get your thoughts on it? Tennessee driving down the field, down one, the Broncos with three timeouts in their pocket after the two-minute warning, choosing not to use them. The craziest thing of all, with about 31 seconds to go, Derrick Henry took the ball down to the Broncos 12, and then it was Tennessee that called timeout. If someone's going to call timeout there, it wasn't Denver, it was Tennessee. They left him in their pockets, fellas, and it was too late. The Broncos had 17 seconds left, and they got the ball back. They were down, but 17 seconds, three timeouts, not using them on defense. What are you going to do on offense?
It makes no sense. Vic Fangio basically, at the end of the day, put his team in a bad situation. And I'm sure, you know, the players on the sideline was wondering what is going on. How come there's no timeouts being called? Now, you should burn at least two timeouts in that situation to leave yourself enough time on the clock if, in fact, the field goal's made or missed. Either or, but in this situation, you know what, I guess he thought because the field goals Gostkowski was struggling all night long, and they hadn't been really moving the football at a rapid rate. He felt like, okay, I can just wait for things to go down. He'll either miss the field goal, and if he makes it, we'll have enough time left on the clock, and we'll have three timeouts. But that's the wrong approach.
Real quick, Jay, before we get your thoughts, let's hear Fangio. That's essentially what Key thinks Fangio is thinking. Here's what Vic was actually thinking down the stretch with those TOs in his pocket. Oh, I guess we don't have it. Essentially, he essentially said, look, you're right. Gostkowski missed three field goals and an extra point. He was having a rough night, Jay. Mm-hmm. And essentially, he said, that's enough the sample size I needed to see.
Go ahead, Jay.
Let's just say, the difference between getting the ball back with a minute, if you actually utilize your timeouts as opposed to 17 seconds on the back end, how do you – I just don't understand. You know, Key, you and I, we talk about this all the time. He has 33 years of coaching experience in the NFL.
Vic.
33 years of coaching experience in the NFL. That was probably the worst clock management I've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
Andy Reid,
like, it's inexcusable.
But you know that seat is hot, though, when you're sitting in it as a head coach, opposed to as a defensive coordinator. As a defensive coordinator that he's been or assistant coach for a long time, this is his first head coaching job after 31 seasons as an assistant. He finally got an opportunity to be a head coach. And you reminded me of a game a year ago against the Indianapolis Colts where he basically did the same thing, Z.
Yeah, the Broncos were struggling. They were going nowhere. They weren't going to make the playoffs. They were in Indy. Joe Flacco was their quarterback before he went out for the neck injury and obviously has left the organization. And essentially the Broncos, instead of going in for the points, trying to go for six late in the game, that again was just a moral victory. They weren't going anywhere. It was early in the season. They weren't eliminated from the playoffs, but they showed no signs of life. And Flacco, right after the game in the post-game press conference, essentially said to Vic Fangio, not directly to him, but through the media, fellas, what do we have to lose here? We're not a great team. We're building. Why don't we take chances? Why don't we take opportunities? And you yourself, Key, said when you played for a conservative, defensive-minded head coach.
Oh, man, my stomach hurts.
Frustrated as Flacco.
Well, because defensive-minded coaches, you want them to have the head coaching job. Right. I don't want to take that away from them. But it seems like to me the responsibility of clock management, our great friend Herm Edwards.
Yes.
Clock management issues, right, Evan? You know, Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles,
even Andy Reid,
and yeah, preseason 2019, Andy Reid. Exactly.
But when you think about, defensive minded coaches, right, it's like they, they think that the defense is always going to stop somebody, and they're going to get the ball back, and they can kick field goals to win games. They never want to push the envelope down the field to score points. It's always kick a field goal and play defense instead of just mashing. You know, it's one of those deals where I'm like, man, I don't want to play for a defensive coach because they just – they don't want to throw the ball. They want to run the ball. When you get in the red zone, they're afraid to throw it. They want to run it. Then they want to kick the field goal. They'd rather win 9-3 instead of 40-7.
The 1-0 baseball game.
Yeah, it's like, God.
Well, and they stopped running play action. I mean, and that's what I feel like Drew Locke, when he got into that rhythm, that's when he was at his best. It just – those are the type of questions when you watch this team play or you watch this coaching style, as you just alluded to. You get frustrated. Because they have the weapons. I mean, even without the number one wide receiver, they still had options. They
without
still had
Sutton,
weapons.
They still had it. Noah Fant had a pretty good game. Melvin Gordon had a pretty good game. So when you start to look at what they have from an offensive standpoint, they didn't put up a whole lot of points, obviously. They probably could have used some more points. But in the end, they had an opportunity to maybe win that game. But walking away with timeouts in your pocket to the podium at the end of the game – serves you nothing.
And to Jay's point, not only did Courtland Sutton not play last night with the AC joint, you had Von Miller out for the season. If you watched the game last night, A.J. Bouye, he left the game early. Philip Lindsay, undrafted free agent,
stud
from the Denver area, he left
Jerry
the game
Judy
early.
Jerry Judy looked good, though.
He really did. First-round pick. The highest drafted Broncos receiver in the history of the franchise. He was drafted 15th overall. They had never drafted a wide receiver that high, and to Jay's point, he looked great.
Really?
Jay, yeah, never drafted anybody higher. They've had some great ones, like the Three Amigos. You remember all those guys with Elway in
Anthony
the 80s.
Anthony Miller.
Absolutely.
But he
had
came from
ones.
San Diego, I think.
They've had some great ones. Rod Smith was undrafted.
Undrafted.
So all the great ones.
McCaffrey came over, free agency.
Yep.
You would just think for Gostkowski, like a guy who actually is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You would think that as a head coach, if even if you did have way more experience as a D.C., right?
Yeah.
You would say, hey, I'm probably, from a risk mitigation perspective, like, I'm probably not going to bet that he's going to miss that one, even though he's missed a lot throughout the course of the game.
But even up until the point where they started to move the ball with Derrick Henry, kind of turned the corner on you, they hit a few. Now start using your timeouts. Let one or two plays go by and see what they do before you start using the timeouts. But he refused to do it.
To enhance Jay's point, great point by Jay, even though he did struggle the three missed field goals and one missed extra point, when it does count, when you're talking about Canton.
He kicks it,
yes.
He's 12 of 13 in his career on go-ahead field goals in the fourth quarter, and Jay's made his last 10.
Who's feeding that information to him, Key? Who's talking to Fangio at that moment, at that given time?
It could either be the special teams coach is telling him. You know, I don't know what the weather, the wind and stuff like that. So the special teams coach is communicating with the head coach, and he's probably asking, what do you think? And he's probably telling him, well, I don't think he struggled tonight. He's missed four so far, PAT and three field goals. I don't know. What do you think? And he's just going back and forward to the point where now all of a sudden, Z, they get down there, and you look up, and they're so close. He's like, uh-oh, why would I burn the timeouts now?
Think about field goals. Last note on the Titans, why did they go get Gostkowski, who Jay rightly says is a future Hall of Famer? Last year, Jay, guys,
they were horrible, exactly.
One of the worst field goal kicking teams in the history of the NFL. Last year, guys, they made
eight
field goals in 17 games. The first team since 1987 to be under 50%. They only tried 18. 8 for 18 in 17 games?
Well, they started off bad too this year, so.
And I love everybody. I love everybody in the post, though. We had confidence in him the whole time. Until we didn't, if he had missed it.
Hindsight's always 20/20, and Vic's going to be answering a ton of questions this morning. Still to come, Big Ben is back. He said he'd be back. Is it enough to send the Steelers back to the Super Bowl? Key and Jay will weigh in.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, Your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Jay, you well know we're about to perhaps move closer to the NBA Finals. Stanley Cup Final, getting closer. A to Z brought to you by Redbox. Now at Redbox, stream the theatrical home release of Bill and Ted Face the Music, starring Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. Get premium access and visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. Dallas Stars got a one-timer during a power play in OT. That's the Stanley Cup playoffs for you. I'll tell you, they defeat the Vegas Golden Knights 3-2. They advance to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 20 years. They'll either face the New York Islanders or more likely the Tampa Bay Lightning in the final. Tampa Bay leads the Eastern Conference Final 3-1. They've had some early postseason flameouts, have the Lightning. They've been among the best regular season teams for years now. They're still looking to get that second Stanley Cup.
Woo!
They're one game away.
Way to go! All right! Woohoo!
I can sense a little sarcasm there.
Let's go! Is it over?
Are you not a Kings fan? Los Angeles Kings fan?
Only when they win.
Well, they have won the cup as an eight seed.
And I had a Kings jersey.
Long live Wayne Gretzky. Billionaire Steve Cohen has reached an agreement to take majority ownership of the New York Mets. He's a big-time hedge fund manager. This is his second go-around to try to buy the team. The first one fell through. He is a lifelong Mets fan. They do need approval from 23 of the 30 owners to make this official, but it does seem to be a formality.
That's the difference between him and us, Jay. When he decides he just want to I guess I'll buy a team. We say, well, I guess we'll just buy a watch, right? He just, so there's a huge difference, right? He strokes a check for billions. Give me the team. I don't care. We say, give us that Timex. We don't care.
Timex?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know. I'm just saying a watch. I ain't giving names away, really. What I'm saying.
A lot of zeros, a lot of commas. Oh, and speaking of billionaires, although I don't think he's as rich as Steve Cohen, Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary made it clear to Giannis the franchise is willing to go into the luxury tax to give him that championship-supporting cast he so badly wants. That's according to Woj. The Bucks are going to be up against the luxury tax next year. Lazary and the Greek Freak met for 3 hours and are expected to talk again once Giannis returns from a vacation. That all according to Woj. More Eastern Conference news. Heat, Celtics, and the place the Bucks they thought they were going to be, Jay, tonight in Game 1. You'll be all over it on ESPN?
I will, but they could have done this last year if they had retained Malcolm Brogdon, who they lost at Indiana Pacers. I mean, if there was a time that you needed Malcolm Brogdon on the court, it was when they struggled when Giannis was out.
No question about it. He, of course, left via free agency to get a big money deal himself. Clippers and the Nuggets. Jay will be there for that as well with the NBA Countdown crew. That's tonight, 9 Eastern, for a right to play LeBron and company in the next round. I think that answer was an affirmative yes from Keyshawn's question. We're brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Jay, you are the resident Giants fan. The sigh in your voice, but you got to give it up. I know your guys struggled. Big Ben, anything but.
You know, Big Ben outrushed Saquon Barkley. Big Ben outrushed Saquon Barkley.
Let that settle in.
Big Ben
had
nine rushing yards. Saquon had 6 rushing yards. Look, it's the opening drive. I thought was interesting. I thought Daniel Jones missed somebody wide open in the end zone. We missed an opportunity. But look, ultimately, I'm okay with the way that the Giants played. I know we lost, but I think that look, we were playing against a Steelers team who had an incredible defense. Our O-line has issues. We talked about this yesterday. Our left tackle was getting just rammed over each and every possession. I mean, watching this team, watching the Steelers defense, they constantly made Danny Dimes feel pressured. That was what we talked about last year. He led the league in rookies, quarterbacks in turnovers. He had 12, even though he led them in touchdowns as well. And ultimately, it came down to Danny Dimes making plays. I mean, he had that 19-play drive down, and then he threw a turnover. He threw an interception again. So, look, there's a lot of takeaways, I think. If you're Joe Judge for this team, I like the way our defense played for 25 minutes. But the Steelers is just a really good team.
You do understand it's 60 minutes in football.
I do. That's why I said 25 minutes. That's why I was very specific.
Look, man, they were in over their heads. I was never worried about the Giants beating the Steelers last night, even though early in the game, the Steelers kind of, you know, they had to settle in. It's the first game of the season, and Ben's coming back. They had to settle in. But when I look at the Giants and this Danny Dimes, they need to just drop that nickname. I mean,
why?
Really. Because he's not there. He's not like that.
Did you see the 42-yard touchdown pass from Darius Slayton?
It shows flashes of brilliance, though.
So.
I know you're a fan, and I get it. It's like I am with the Lakers. I got it. You get emotionally attached, and you feel a certain way. I got it. That play was designed perfect. Everything was perfect. Okay? Mika Fitzpatrick settled his feet. The deep post over the top, the deep crosser in front of Mika, he settled, throw it over the top. We drew it up perfectly. Everything was perfect. There was no pressure. The play action, the ball in the belly of the back, throw it, touchdown. When things got going and it became stressful, you saw a young quarterback panic. The interception that was tipped, or he basically tipped it and hit his hand, when he's going, running away, throw the ball in the damn stands, not a back against the grain in the middle of the field with four or five Pittsburgh Steelers around, it's going to get intercepted. Nobody was open, but that's the stress that you put on a young quarterback when you don't surround him with great talent. The offensive line speaks for itself. We know what that offensive line is, but they don't have any outside of Saquon Barkley, Ingram the tight end, and to a degree, Shepherd, to a degree. Your best wide receiver is in Cleveland. You didn't like his hair and his attitude. But every receiver that's dominant in the National Football League comes with some sort of attitude. You want that. You want that on your football team. You don't have that right now. And I'm sure Danny Dimes would love to have OBJ. You traded him for Jabril Peppers, a safety that you probably could have gotten in the draft or in free agency, and still have the top receiver on your team that you just gave a bunch of money to. It just, when I look at it, just made no sense to me when I'm watching their offense at all. And their defense is, I mean, their defense did okay, but not great.
Much more on OBJ coming up with our NFL insider, Dan Graziano. He'll join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line at 7 Eastern. Last quick thought. You should have seen, if you were waiting to watch the second game, Ben Roethlisberger walking off the field with Mike Tomlin, clutching that game ball like he didn't want to give. It was like his baby. He didn't want to give it up after everything, Jay, he had gone through, the injury. They walked arm in arm, hand in hand, so to speak, back to the locker room together to meet the other guys. You could tell for a guy that's won a couple Super Bowls and has done a ton of great stuff and he's had a lot of ups and downs in his careers, that was an amazing moment for him. Just a reminder, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. Still to come, everybody was ready to judge Joe Judge before game number one. Now that it's in the books, what do Key and Jay think? And our Giants insider on everything Judge said you need to know on the way.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit calling the game last night on Monday Night Football. They're usually calling the best college game of the week. It was great to see. Anytime,
so good.
They were great. And anytime someone made a catch, they made sure to tell you what college they went to, which I thought was awesome, right? Just to kind of put you back in the mode of where they are. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Everybody joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Jordan Renan. He is our ESPN Giants reporter, 24-7, 365 with the G-Men. All right, Jordan, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's get straight to it. What did you see, and what are people saying about Daniel Jones' performance last night?
Yeah, see, the thing with Daniel Jones is, and this is what it was last year, right? Daniel Jones from Duke, by the way. You know, Daniel Jones, 12 starts last year, 20 turnovers, right? But he did a lot of good things, so it gave you hope, right? Okay, now he just has to cut out the fumbling, cut out the turnovers. But again, you saw a lot of good things from Daniel Jones, but there was the two turnovers. So you're kind of stuck in the same spot that you were before with Daniel Jones. He's got to cut out those bad plays. And specifically, we're talking about the one near the end zone, right? I mean, they're on an 18-play drive. They're driving the field. It's 16-10 at the time. They're potentially going to take the lead. They're inside the 10-yard line. He sees the pressure. He's scrambling out. He's really just trying to throw the ball out of bounds, but he tries to throw it out of maybe the back of the end zone, gets his arm hit. It's just one of those plays, and what Joe Judge said afterwards is, you know, we have to cut that out, and it's unacceptable. That's the kind of turnover that Daniel Jones in his second year you were hoping didn't make, right? The good news, at least he didn't fumble, right? Last year, that was really the big problem. So, I mean, there's positives to take from this game from Daniel Jones, but still, you know, two more turnovers. Last year, 20 turnovers and 12 starts. It's basically two turnovers a game. Same pace again this year right now.
Just throw the ball in the stands on the sideline. Anyway, Jordan.
Exactly.
They couldn't
throw it on the sideline. That was the thing. He tried to throw it out of bounds in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, they couldn't get Saquon Barkley going whatsoever. 15 carries, 6 yards, 0.4, 7-yard long. When you look at it, what was the problem with him being able to get going?
Yeah, well, they just couldn't get him room. I mean, just think about how hard that is to do in an NFL game, especially when you're as talented as Saquon Barkley. 0.4 yards per carry. 0.4. So, you know, think about how little that is. That's like, you know, 0.4 yards per carry for a guy like Saquon Barkley. In order for that to happen, a lot of things have to happen. And number one is he has no room to run. The Steelers were in the backfield consistently. And they were there. And this is part of the Giants' problem. They have to get their offensive line right. They've been trying to do it now for years. Dave Gettleman said a few weeks ago he thought that they were finally had the right pieces in place. They just had to get used to playing with each other. Well, you know, no preseason, shortened training camp. You could tell that this was a new group. You have a center who, quite frankly, had never played center before. You have Cameron Fleming at right tackle, who, for the most part in his career, has been a swing tackle. And then at left tackle, you have a rookie. And that's what it looked like for the Giants. But on the other side, when you're Saquon Barkley, you have to be honest, he also needs to do better. I mean, he had a drop pass. He had a play where he missed the blitzer and he allowed a sack. So if you're Saquon Barkley and you're the best player on the Giants team and the best playmaker on the Giants team, which he is, he has to do better as well. So I think the blame really falls on a lot of guys, and Saquon Barkley included. But that offensive line is number one. They need to get that fit.
Jordan, that's been our ongoing problem for a while. And, you know, Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt, these guys are just throwing them like rag dogs. When you talk about taking the blame, not only Saquon Barkley for not being better, but how? I mean, when do we start actually holding Dave Gettleman way more accountable? Is he on the hot seat? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, the Giants they need to show improvement. That's what John Mara said when they walk off the field this year. Him and Steve Tisch, the other owner, need to sit there and say, we're making progress. We're headed in the right direction. I can see this team eventually, you know, going back to the Super Bowl in the future, that they're in that direction. But you have to be honest. I mean, the Giants are the worst team in the NFL over the last 3 years. The worst team in the NFL, right, record-wise, over the last 3 years. Now, Dave Gettleman was only there 2 out of 3 years, but he can't afford another really bad season. They can't afford another 4-12. I mean, Joe Judge is building something there. He's the new coach, and he came in, you know, comes in hot and, you know, with all his new techniques and gained a lot of attention, and he's trying to build something. But Dave Gettleman is not on the same schedule as Joe Judge. So they can't afford for Daniel Jones. Dave Gettleman at least can't afford for Daniel Jones not to make steps and make progress this year, or the team to go another 4-12 or 5-11. I mean, the last 3 years, they've won 3 games, 5 games, and 4 games. You know, so how much longer are people willing to wait? And he said that offensive line, he thought, had the pieces in place to have it right. Did it look like that last night?
Nope.
I don't think so.
No.
That's going to be a big referendum on Dave Gettleman, is how that offensive line comes together. Because if last night was a precursor of what's going to happen for the rest of the year, yeah, Dave Gettleman is going to be on the hot seat because he hasn't gotten that fixed yet, and it didn't look last night like it's actually really close to being fixed at all.
When you look at some of the decisions that Gettleman's made in the draft, obviously drafting Danny Dimes, but DeAndre Baker, one that they completely missed on in terms of first-round pick. Mm-hmm. They might as well just have given that away to somebody else. Not necessarily surrounding a quarterback with skill position talent, both in free agency as well as in the draft. I know that they went out and got Darius Slayton, but at the same time, there's more to be had that he hasn't gotten done yet. How much is that going to weigh on him?
Well, here's the deal, Keith, right? If he hasn't gotten the right skill position and help for Daniel Jones, then what have the Giants done? Because think about it. They've picked in the top 6 3 straight years now, okay? So who did they pick in those 3 years? They picked Saquon Barkley. They picked Andrew Thomas this year, and Daniel Jones. Andrew Thomas is his left tackle. And the year before, even though Gettleman wasn't there, they picked Evan Ingram. So you're talking about all offensive players. So if they don't have the right players there on offense, first of all, the team is going to be terrible if that's not the case, because they made all those investments on offense. This offense has to be good. How many points did the Giants score last night? 16, and you know, one was a late touchdown. Like, they have to. This team is going to win games and be in the right direction. They have to have the right pieces there on offense, because that's where they've made their investment. Their defense, it's not expected to be that good because they haven't put those big investments. So it's up to Saquon Barkley being the star that they think he is. It's up to Evan Ingram, who was awful last night, had a terrible game, to step up and be a significant playmaker. Darius Slayton looks like they actually hit one there. That's Dave Gettleman's best pick. He looks like he's a real player. But Sterling Shepard, they need to get Golden Tate back. And that's the thing. They have Daniel Jones has yet to play a single snap, not one, with all of his playmakers healthy. And now we're on his 13th career start, spanning into 2 seasons right now. The Giants better hope they have those skill positions right.
They can hope. Obviously, they got the Bears this weekend. It's a matchup of 2 teams that have embattled general managers and young quarterbacks that really need to prove something. Trubisky proved something certainly on Sunday. Daniel Jones, plenty left to prove after his 13th career start. He is now 3-10 as a starter. That's our ESPN Giants reporter, Jordan Renan. But to Jay's point, what a lot of other people have said, yeah, despite being 3-9 last year, you do see some flashes. That first game last year when he came off the bench against Tampa to rally them to a win. Another sigh here. It's tough,
well,
man.
It's frustrating when, you know, and listening to Jordan talk about the pieces that they were able to surround Daniel Jones with, and he makes the point. Evan Ingram, you talk about, you know, Saquon Barkley. They have some of the pieces, but it comes down ultimately to the decision-making of Danny Dimes. And as Key alluded to, it was a really bad decision. And you feel like as you watch the I'm not going to be this person that gets up here and says, well, his second year, I'm done. He's not the answer. You know, he doesn't fit the scheme. I think he has a chance to be a big-time player. It's just a matter of them actually having the O-line to protect him to actually make him feel like he has time in the pocket to actually make those throws so he can go through his progressions.
Fair enough. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including NFL insider Dan Graziano, with the latest on a former Giant, OBJ, and if there's a Giant fracture between Baker and OBJ, that's coming up at 7 Eastern. All right, so, Key, I'm not going to put this all on Gettleman, but if you think about the last three Giants coaches, as you guys know, one of the most staid conservative organizations, one of the most successful organizations, their last three coaches, Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, and right now the unproven Joe Judge, who has a lot to prove to a lot of people with his background and experience when compared to other people that didn't get opportunities. So those are the last three for that. That's the organization of Parcells and Coughlin when you think about it, right?
Yeah, but when you think about those three coaches, basically they all were new at their job as head coaches, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Ben McAdoo kind of fell into that after, you know, a little bit of the to Coughlin in the back.
Right. Mm-hmm. A little early success.
We laughing.
And I just see
he gave a little stab in the back to Coughlin, got the job, didn't work out so well, boom, gone. Who's the second?
Shurmur. Now in Denver. You saw him last night.
But, I mean, come on. They should have never hired him either, right? That's why they got rid of him so fast. And now, Joe Judge. We don't know what he is as a coach yet. I mean, they lost last night, but we really don't know. It doesn't seem right, but who knows? And I think when you start to look at it, when I talk about surrounding the quarterback with talent, I understand Golden Tate is injured, and I understand he's on the sidelines. When you have Saquon Barkley, Ingram at the tight end, and Shepard at the receiver, and Darius Slayton, that's what you got. You need to figure out from Jason Garrett, from an offensive standpoint, you need to put protections in the offensive line to protect the quarterback so he can get the football to those guys. If you know that the Pittsburgh Steelers are stuffing the run game and Saquon Barkley can't get an inch, now we need to figure out how else do we get him involved in the game plan? Whether it's screens, whether it's detaching him from the line of scrimmage and allowing the Pittsburgh Steelers now to deploy a linebacker or a strong safety to cover him in pass coverage. We got to do some things to get the ball in our best players' hands. Now we need to get Shepard going. Okay, Ingram had a few drops. So what? We need to figure out how to fix that. If Darius Slayton is the top guy at the receiver position, he needs to be eaten consistently, but we need to protect the offensive line. Two tight ends. Bring in a fullback. Whatever it needs, we need to do. If we need to slide the protections away from T.J. Watt or slide them, better yet, away from him or to him. Whatever you need to do, you need to figure out how to get the quarterback going, because 2 years from now, we'll be talking about if its quarterback is capable of having a future or not. When you miss on first-round picks, much like they did with DeAndre Baker, that sets your franchise back, believe it or not.
I let go of Dave Gettleman before I let go of Danny Dimes.
Well, no, I'm not saying let him go. I'm just saying two years from now,
I understand,
the conversation will be, is he for the future?
I hear you, but it's – you need the – and Jordan said it specifically. You have to address the O-line issue. We first off, I'm not going to blow this out of proportion as it relates to the Steelers. They have the best pass rushing defense there is in the league. Seeing those guys like Dupree and seeing Watt, I mean, they were tossing people like rag dolls. It was a joke. It was a joke. There was no room for Saquon Barkley to even pipe the ball down the middle. So I'm not going to blow this out of proportion and blow this team up off one game. I do like the signs of encouragement that I did see. But ultimately, you have to give Danny time in the pocket to make those decisions. He's making mistakes, but still he's always under duress when he's making those mistakes. He has to be better at that. But eventually, that's going to fall on Dave Gettleman, 9-24.
Well, in his position.
That's his record, 9-24.
The offensive line necessarily does – it falls on Dave Gettleman, but the scheme from a protection standpoint falls on the offensive coordinator, the offensive line coach. They have to put protections in that will give – Danny Dimes, I don't want to call him Danny Dimes.
Let's call him Danny Jones. There you go. I already know where you're going calling him Danny
Daniel
Dimes.
Jones,
self-proclaimed nicknames.
The best opportunity to succeed, whether it's whether it's getting him out on the perimeter, whether it's sliding the protections, whether it's leaving people in to chip the ends, T.J. Watt coming off the end, you leave people in to chip him. and disrupt his pass rush. Those are things that you do when you are game planning. Those are second half adjustments at halftime that you get on the board with your team and you draw up so that he can have success. If you're not doing that, you're setting him up for failure, period.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin brought to you by Mako. Mako's ready to fix those dents, repair that collision damage, spray on a fresh coat of paint with online estimates, contactless service, and their best price guarantee. Come to Mako and roll out Refresh. Go to Mako.com to get started and find a shop near you. Uh-oh. Better get Mako. Jay, let's go back to you on the Gettleman point. Gettleman is in his second tour of duty. You mentioned his record currently with the Giants in this rebuilding project as the general manager. In his first tour of duty, he was with the organization for 15 years. It was generally in a pro-personnel role. Key had mentioned the Giants are sort of the organization that does love to dip into their own. They even consulted Bill Belichick on bringing in Joe Judge because Belichick was the defensive coordinator under old head coach Bill Parcells, so they love that. But in Carolina, Dave Gettleman was a general manager from 2013 to 2017.
Yes.
They made the Super Bowl in 2015. They won the division three straight years and essentially had the best three-year run in team history. So a lot of people felt that Gettleman does have a pretty good resume as he returns to the Giants, but sometimes I guess that's in the eye of the beholder.
I mean, what are you doing for me now? Right? Like, it's great that you've done all that stuff back then, but are you producing for us right now? And that's the problem. It's not getting done right now. Look, if I were to ask Key, over or under five games you think the Giants would win? What would you say?
I'll put them right at five.
Right at five. All right. So that means in the last 4 years, 3-13, 5-11, 4-12, and then probably 5-11 again.
And then when you talk about his duties with the Carolina Panthers, that resume is kind of like, it's a resume that ain't really, until you really check it out and really dive deep into it.
Call the references?
Yeah, call the references to find out what it really is. Now, he picked some players, but the majority of the Super Bowl run they had in 2015, those players were already on their roster from Marty Herney, who's now the general manager again with the Carolina Panthers. And he ran off so many players from Carolina that can't stand him and Dave Gettleman. They walked away not saying positive things about the general manager. And so when you start to look at those sort of things, you go, his arrogance when he drafted Danny Dimes, his arrogance when he moved OBJ, just his whole attitude. Now, I'm on the outside looking in from afar, but I ain't no damn fool. I know what I see. I've been around the league for a long time.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sit well with me. You know, it's just like, I don't know if he's long for the job, right? I just don't. I thought Jerry Reese did a hell of a job at drafting players and building the team.
His predecessor
with the Giants. Now, in this business, it's not for long. It's like an assembly line. Mm-hmm. They get on, they get off. They get on, they get off. He'll eventually probably wind up getting off, and somebody else will wind up getting on.
We are moving towards another referendum in November of a much larger scale. But in terms of Dave Gettleman, is it as simple as this, especially since you say maybe the Carolina thing is somebody else? Is it as simple as this? If Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones.
I know, we keep calling him Daddy Dimes, Daniel Jones. I got to start calling him Daniel Jones.
Because we know,
man.
Saquon's going to work. That was just a one-off yesterday, right?
Me and you can pick that blindfolded.
Right. So let's say Daniel Jones works. Is Dave Gettleman on that one pick, a true referendum, a yes-no binary decision? If Daniel Jones is the quarterback that Gettleman says he is, does he basically say, all you critics, look at me now?
Well, it depends on when he develops, right? If he develops 5 years from now and then Gettleman's not here, who developed him? Was it Jason Garrett, or was it a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach? Like, who developed him?
Gettleman will be 74 years old in 5 years.
Like, think about it. Who developed him at that point in time? So when you start looking at players, there's going to be players that I'm sure Dave Gettleman will draft, like a Darnay Holmes, a young corner from UCLA out west in the Pac-12 conference that I love, that I thought played exceptionally well out of the nickel last night for them at times. He, based on where he was drafted, that value pick will turn out to be something good. But then when you draft a guy, and I go back to it, you draft a guy and you ignore the red flags on a DeAndre Baker out of Georgia, and you take him and you have to cut him a year later, it's like, okay. Or is Andre Thomas going to work out long-term at left tackle, or are you going to be looking for somebody else to play that spot? in 2 years.
Well, to keep an eye on that, Baker's looking at some serious prison time. Andrew Thomas with his first game yesterday protecting Daniel Jones. On the way, Gettleman.
Real I was going to say, last night watching the game, too, I was like, man, I miss OBJ.
I miss
OBJ.
You just, move OBJ because he kicked the net.
I missed him.
Gettleman said he didn't sign him to trade him. Are the Browns thinking about doing just that, to Jay's point? We'll talk about it next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.